Thank you, Pastor Doc. I told him, just sitting there earlier, that I have a 3-page introduction if you want it, but I liked his better. It was always an honor. I just have to do some housekeeping stuff. I don't like things in my way. Several weeks ago, Deborah says to me, "You need to prepare a message because somewhere, sometime, you'll be asked to give it." So tonight is that somewhere and sometime. She and I are committed not to sit by the pool and sip non-alcoholic daiquiris. We have a calling on our lives to go wherever he wants us to go. We want to end well. Yeah. And so it's always an honor. Pastor Andrew started out with that song about dancing, and you may or may not remember, it's okay, but 2 weeks ago I had a word about dancing on our graves. Well, that afternoon, I had an opportunity to see whether I was going to live it out. You've had that experience. If you haven't, you will. And so I tripped over a bolt that was sticking up out of the concrete on our pool deck that was supposed to be in ground. I stepped on it and literally splattered my face on that concrete. And Deborah rushed me to the ER, and 3 stitches on my eye, and still kind of bothered my wrist a little bit. Cracked a tooth, had to have a root canal for it. And so I'm saying that to say that is a personal testimony. We danced on the graves. I didn't have a broken bone. I wasn't mad. If I'd been mad, I wouldn't have told you. But you will have opportunity, won't you, to find what you believe is really true or not. So bless God, it's true. Vance Howden used to say, it's worth everything or it isn't worth anything. So it is worth everything. I have had for some time this in my spirit about the goodness of God. So I want to talk to us about the goodness of God for a little bit. Jake's going to put our words up. Y'all help Jake. I'm finding out he needs a lot of help. Don't you love that guy? And so that's the classic passage. I would have despaired. The Amplified Version says, what would I have done unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living? It's interesting they said, unless I had believed to see. We're living in a time when it's stressing our faith to believe. I would have despaired, I would have fainted, the King James says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And then Romans 2:4, the goodness, see, I told you you needed help. That's okay, Jay, I've got it. The goodness of God leads one to repentance. Notice he doesn't say drives you to repentance. That's not the heart of God. The goodness of God leads one to repentance. You could take any topic out of Scripture and spend, and it's inexhaustible. Matter of fact, there's a brother who goes around the country. I don't know his name right now, but he does seminars simply on the goodness of God all over the country. All he does is teach and preach on the goodness of God. You can't exhaust it. You can't exhaust it. So we're just going to kind of like taking a thimble under Niagara tonight and try to catch a little bit. And I hope we become like what we focus on. And if you want to curse the darkness, you can, or you can turn your light on. The choice is yours and mine. First thing I want to say is this. The goodness of God restrains him from pouring out his wrath on the wicked. It's the goodness of God that resists or keeps him, prevents him from pouring out his wrath on the wicked. Why does God allow all this stuff to keep going on? I was in Carbondale, Illinois just last Saturday to attend my granddaughter's graduation ceremony. My son and grandson and I drove out there and to Southern Illinois University. Place was packed. And you know the processional, how you march in the graduates. Would you like me to do the procession a little bit for you? Mm-hmm, always like that. That's all I'll do. But then they introduced the faculty. And I'm not making this up. One of the faculty members was, get this, the chancellor for inequity and inclusion. They got a staff member for that. The chancellor for diversity and inclusion. And I just, out of my mouth, it just came out. I said, what a joke. I just said, and my son looked at me with that, Dad, you're going to get arrested. And I have been arrested. I've been arrested by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the Spirit of God. We've been arrested. I am a prisoner of hope. And we can't be righteous and not deal with that stuff. It's all around us, but we can't be silent about it and just sit there like it's banana pudding or something. It's a horrible thing what's happening, and you know that. And last Sunday in the Washington Post, on Mother's Day, they did an article about a little girl who said this. She said, I don't have a mommy, so one of my daddies will have to be my mommy. Do you know what she saw more than those men saw? She understood there's an order to creation. I don't have a mommy, so one of my daddies will have to be my mommy. Why does God allow all this to go on? Why doesn't he just stop it? The floodgates of his justice are ramming against the dam of his mercy. His mercy is the only thing that keeps this thing going. There's not a crack in that dam yet. We live in the age of grace. That means that as long as you and I have been alive, there's been a church building, four church buildings at every intersection in America. We're in the age of grace. It will not always be that way. He allows it. That's because his character is such. He doesn't want anybody to perish. That's the Romans 2:4. He leads us to repentance. Here's the thing, a mistake a lot of people make. The silence of God is not permission. Just because he seems to appear silent sometimes, truth for everyone on the scaffold, wrong for everyone on the throne, it seems like sometimes. Deborah and I heard an awesome word a few weeks ago by John Kilpatrick about how the earth is groaning out, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of men. He says, awesome word, you should look it up. I think it's something like earth is sending a message, something to that effect. That all these, and of course the climate change people, just blame it on that. The climates have always changed, duh. But, and so they, I lost my train of thought. The wheels of God's justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly small. And John Kilpatrick was sharing how that the earth is literally vomiting up the evil that's all around this world. They can't stand it. You see, we think God's passive. God is everything but passive. He's always moving and doing something. He's always up to something. And he wants us in on what he's up to. And if we're not in on what he's up to, we'll be down on what he's doing. You can figure that out when you get home. Creation groans. The earth is literally vomiting up this evil. It can't stand it. That's a strong, strong word. The goodness of God is resisting his wrath against the wicked. It will not always be so. Second thing I want to say to you is this. The goodness of God is seen in his sovereign choices of us. The goodness of God is seen in his sovereign choices. His choices for us and of us. Wouldn't it just be, it's a good worship experience sometimes just to meditate on the fact that you're a child of God. You know, just, you may not have $300,000 in the bank, but just that you're a child of God. Isn't that enough? Can't that just be enough sometimes? His choice of us. When I was 9 years old, my sovereign father looked down and said, I want Jim and Lucille's boy to be my son. I'm going to redeem him with my blood, and I'm going to put my spirit in him, and I'm going to call him to preach, and he's going to preach my gospel as long as he's alive. That's the sovereign choice. You could say the same thing about your journey, whatever has happened to you. How come you weren't born in Haiti or Yemen? Who decided your eyes would be brown instead of blue? Who decided you would be left-handed instead of right-handed? Who decided you would be as privileged as you are? Who? When I was in grade school, we marched in file to lunch, and we had assigned seating. So I sat in front of a girl, the same person every day, Catherine. Never forgotten her name. Our lunches were 25 cents. Can you imagine a plate full of food, 25 cents? But Catherine didn't have 25 cents. She brought a blue diamond coffee bag with a sausage and biscuit in it every single day for lunch. And she had a glass of water. That was Catherine's lunch. 5 days a week. Why was I not Catherine instead of Larry? My mom and dad, and we siblings talk about it still now, how they did what they did. We had lunch. We had clothes, nice clothes. The sovereign God is behind all of this. Why? We can't answer all of that. But it's his sovereign grace. It's his goodness. It's his goodness. It's the goodness of God. Do you have a place to sleep tonight when you leave here? Is there any food in your pantry? Did you have any fuel in your car to get here tonight? Can you get out of bed in the morning? Now, for some of us, you may get out in shifts. But you get out. Is there anyone in the world who loves you? I know one who does. Don't you? That's the sovereign, the goodness of God in his sovereign choices of us. To be born here and have opportunities like we've had. Thirdly, the goodness of God is seen even in the mysteries of life. Folks, if our God isn't big enough to handle the dark places, we need to trade gods. We need a big God. This God of the book is big enough to handle the dark places. He's not afraid of your questions. Don't be afraid to ask. He's big enough. You're not going to offend him. And you're not going to outthink him either. The goodness of God, even in the mysteries of life. Just a few weeks ago, the Ukrainian pastor stood right here in this pulpit and said this, since the war began, more people are coming to Jesus. Yeah. A young man who later became a seminary professor in America, in Memphis, said he walked through St. Jude Hospital one day and saw those little emaciated little bodies and those children and the pain. in the face of those parents. He said he walked out on the parking lot and he said, God, why do you do this? And he said, as soon as I said that, I heard this, son, you're laying that at the wrong doorstep. The goodness of God works even in the mysteries of life. Some of us try to just figure, you're not going to figure all this stuff out. If you keep trying, you're going to be miserable all your life and miserable in your death. If you make the jump and jump into his arms, you're not going to jump into a black chasm. You're going to jump into his arms. And you're going to know of his mercy and his goodness. But you got to jump. You got to take that leap of faith. Amen. The character of God is constantly being assaulted. Constantly. Did you know there are millions of people who hate the God of the Bible? That's why they're always changing. They make an idol out of themselves. They make their own God. God is, R.T. Kendall said, God is looking for people who will suffer and not complain about it. Have you noticed God doesn't attempt to explain himself? He doesn't have to. He's kind of jealous about being God. I love Psalm 115:3. It says, God sits in heaven and does what he pleases. Now, our flesh doesn't like that. But when you jump, if you abandon yourself to God, you'll be the most amazed person in Florence, Alabama. That's the character, the sovereignty of God. Chooses, makes choices, and we love him for his choices. Spurgeon said, if there is any good in me, God put it there. And that's so true. Listen, folks, God didn't stop being God when you had a bad day. One of the great things about his attributes is his immutability. That means he doesn't change. He'll be good a million years from now. He was good when I fell that Sunday. Now, I've had some pretty severe pain. I kind of had a siege of these ER trips. And I think over at ER in Helen Keller, when they see the EMTs coming, they say, that's Mr. Buller. Just send him over to the drive-thru. But bless God, that's over with. In Jesus' name. A good friend of mine, I'm talking now about how his sovereignty watches over us and cares for us. A good friend of mine, Robert Davenport's in heaven tonight. When I pastored in Lebanon, Tennessee, he was one of my deacons, soft-spoken. But when he gave his testimony, he could hear a pin drop. Robert said he was in World War II, and he literally could hear bullets whizzing past his ear. And he made a vow to God. God, if you will get me home, I will serve you till the day I die. And he did. That's the goodness of God. That's the sovereignty of God. Robert held good on his promise. Jeremiah 31:14 says, my people be satisfied with my goodness. Are you? Pastor Eddie touched on this a week or two ago. Consumerism has ruined a lot of lives, has ruined faith for a lot of people. What have you done for me lately, God? That's consumerism. Listen, he doesn't have to prove himself to any of us. He's already proved himself. If you want to see how good he is, look at Calvary for about 3 minutes. That's the sovereignty of God and how good he is. What does all this matter anyway? We're just filling up another Wednesday night. What does it matter about the goodness of God? Well, for one thing, it gets your eyes off yourself and onto him. I remember one church I was pastoring, and the secretary would do we call it needs about our people. And on Wednesday night like this, we'd pass out the little handouts, and it would have a list of people who were not well, who were in the hospital or lost a loved one. And As you would know, sometimes the list would get long. And we would go over the list in an honest way. But there were times when we would get to the end of the list, I would want to say to the folks, is anyone here as depressed as I am right now? What were we doing? We were focusing on needs instead of the God who meets our needs. If our faith is man-centered, we're going to crash. But our faith must always be God-centered. Be still and know that I'm God. It's kind of fun, really. This week I had this thought. I write myself notes, and I put it in my phone. It said, God and I have agreed that he is God and I'm not. That's good stuff. So another thing it matters is it increases your passion for Jesus. When I realize what he's done for me, in me and through me and to me all the time, I see the goodness of God in the land. What would I have done if I had not believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living? Another thing it will do, it leads you to repentance. That's Romans 2:4 verse. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Now, repentance is a good thing. It works good in a marriage. One of the trips I made was an overnight deal. It seemed like 2 weeks, but I was in the hospital for, I don't remember exactly what that one was for, Deborah. And we were getting ready to go home. Nurse came in and said, we're going to release you. And then the guy from the lab came in. And he said, Mr. Bullard, I don't know how to break this to you, but we got to have another vial of blood. Here's exactly what he said. He said, the lab lost your blood. And the first thought I had was, what do labs do? How can a blood lab lose blood? But they lost a vial of blood. And Deborah already said that you punched him like a pincushion. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm forgetting I'm a preacher. I'm forgetting how spiritual and spirit-filled I'm supposed to be. And I'm sitting there, and I'm beginning to seethe a little bit. And Deborah, of course, picks up on that. I looked at her, and she looked at me. She said, you know what you're going to do? She said, you're going to praise God. And I'm thinking, can I just have 5 minutes to just seethe and frolic in this, and then I'll praise him? That's not how it works, is it? But thank God he does have mercy on those 5 minute times. The goodness of God. I think this right here, maybe my most important point about why does this matter? The goodness of God will melt the obstacles around your soul. I don't have to tell any of you here in this room that life can be hard. Life can make your heart hard. The disciples' heart got hard. Our Lord was talking to them about when he was going to be crucified. You know what they said? Lord, tell us who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom. That's a hard heart. Their hearts got hard. We have to fight having a hard heart. And then, of course, his ultimate goodness is seen in the face of his son. I remember I was just a kid preacher. I was 19 years old. I'd taken a church, asked me to come and be interim. I wasn't sure how to spell interim at the time. They asked me to come and fill in for them on Wednesday nights. And here I am, 19 years old. And I think we'll study the book of Romans. So after about three nights, I was done with the Romans. But one man came out of the church, and I'll never forget what he said. He was we called him music directors back then. And he said, Brother Larry, what would we have done? He said, if Jesus hadn't come, God would be a riddle to me. But aren't we glad Jesus came? I said, yeah, Robert, we're so glad that he came. The goodness of God should melt the obstacles on our souls. God help us for it to do so. Old John Bunyan said, "Oh, blessed Savior, you paid 10,000 times more for my soul than it's worth." I love that. The goodness of God is seen eternally in the face of His Son. I have a story, and I'm done. A true story happened over 100 years ago in Silver City, Nevada. Silver rush was going on there, and I've preached in those hills in Nevada. They're kind of rough and coarse. And a lady who planned to be a missionary, God, in the sovereignty of God, she didn't get to go to the mission field. She just was a missionary where she was. And she heard about an old prospector up in the hills who was dying. And she had heard others, we'd take him food, they'd say, and he'd curse so and so vile. We'd just lay the food at the door and walk away. He's so mean and ugly and vile and filthy. She went to see him. She got the same response. Just met with cursing and oaths and vileness. And one day she said to him, "Sir, what about your mother?" And he cursed. His mother was a wicked woman. And she didn't know anything about God and didn't want to know. She was a vile, wicked woman as well. She said, "What about your wife?" And he cursed again. "My wife was a woman of the streets." On and on. Everything she tried to offer was met with oath and cursing. One night, she was back home with her children. They were having their prayer time. And she didn't pray for that old prospector that night. And her son looked at her and said, "Mommy, have you given up on the old prospector?" And she dropped her head and said, "Well, son, I guess I have." And he said, "Mommy, has God given up on him too?" So a few days later, she went back up there. This time she took a friend with her, and the friend had a little daughter. The three of them went up those old coarse, rugged mountains. Started the same conversation, cursing again. The little girl stayed outside. And while they were trying to get some breakthrough in the old man's hard soul, he heard the little girl laugh. And he said, "What was that?" And she said, "The daughter, well, that's my little girl. Can I see her?" And she brought in a little, if you've ever been in those parts of the country, the little sage brushes that grow, she brought in a little bouquet. And she was scared, but she handed it to this old vile prospector who was dying. He didn't touch the flowers, but he touched her hand. And he asked the mother, "What is her name?" And she said, "My daughter's name is Mamie." And the man started cursing again. He had a little girl. Now figure this out. What's the odds on his little girl's name was Mamie? And he cursed God for taking his daughter. And the word, the missionary, probably the word of wisdom, said to him, "Sir, have you ever thought about the fact that maybe if your little girl had lived, she would have turned out like your mother and like your wife?" He said, "I never thought about it like that." She said, "Could it be, sir, that if you give your heart to Jesus, you'll get to see little Mamie again?" And the old man got saved in his little hut. And he brought in his friends. He wanted to go to church one time. So they brought the church to him. And he brought in all his minor friends. And he said to them, "Kneel down here on your knees. She's going to tell you how to go to heaven." And a bunch of them got saved. That's the heart of God. That is God. That is God. That's the goodness and the mercy of God. For us, oh, what a Savior. What a Lord. If God, the musician is going to come on back up, guys and girls. If God ceased to be good, He would cease to be God. You can trust him tonight. Deborah and I had lunch recently with a friend all of us know, been struggling with horrible illnesses for 4 years. And I said, brother, I don't want to be intrusive, but I just want to know, I'm asking how we can pray. And this has had to be challenging to your faith. And he said, well, Larry, when I get to where I am today, I trust. I trust. And that's what we do, isn't it? I love Ephesians 6 where Paul said, when I've done everything I know to do, I stand. And that's what we do. That's who we are. We're not quitting. We're not stopping. We're going to open our mouth when we see that vulgarity coming out of those professors. We're not going to shut up and be quiet. You say, well, Larry, if you go downtown next month, Pride Month, UNA will have their big deal. I've been pondering that. I'm just being honest with you. There's one school of thought that says, if you take a banner that says something, I've already got mine made up in my mind, who is your mother? And there's a school of thought that says, well, if you go down there, that's what they want. They want that antagonism. But if we don't go, are we just saying we're silent and it's okay? It's not okay. It's just not okay. And our White House has turned into an outhouse. It's not okay. That's our house. That's the people's house. So it's the goodness of God that leads us to this stuff. Whatever it takes. Whatever he wants with the rest of me. And the rest of us, he's got it. Let's stand together. Our prayer teams, you come, prayer teams. We'll stay here as long as you need us to. If we weren't here, we'd just be somewhere else. We want to pray for you. Maybe you need to forgive God. I have lived through some of that stuff where life just comes at you so hard and fast, doesn't it sometimes? Just fast. Deborah's got a good friend in Belmont, Mississippi. You wouldn't believe the story that lady's going through. Her granddaughter's in Vanderbilt Hospital. She doesn't have the money to get there. On and on and on it goes. We stand on this. We would have fainted. We would have been in despair unless we had believed to see. Don't you let the devil pull you down in a lie and keep you in depression and tell you this is all there is. He's got so much more for you. You can't imagine what he has for you. So, Father, take these stammering words and apply them to our hearts. Help us to live and understand that we become like what we focus on, and that we will marinate in your goodness. In Jesus' name, if you need to come for prayer, we're here for you. Don't leave like you came. You don't have to. Just step out and come while we pray for you. Lord bless you.
How sweet the sound.
Larry, thank you for the word on the goodness of God. You're dismissed if you lack for somebody to pray with you and for you. If you need healing, you just need a touch of God's goodness. The altars are open. We're here, and we'll stay as long as we need to. So you're dismissed, but please know that God loves you. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you, Brother Larry, for the word.